Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing you part one of a four-part series entitled Courageous, with today's message specifically entitled Courageous to be Vulnerable, based off of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. So let us dive into the Word today. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he thought he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus shows us that there is courage in being vulnerable, and calls us to follow his example. Now, one of my favorite series of books is The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien, a devout Christian, did not set out to write a book about his Christian faith. However, having served in World War I, and being an Oxford professor of linguistics during the rise of Hitler and the onset of World War II, Tolkien's novel revealed the faith of its author and his understanding of the urgency to resist the rise of evil at all costs. One of my favorite scenes takes place in the ancient mines of Moria, an underground place and underground palace and fortress that had been mined and built by the dwarves. Gandalf the Grey, an old, powerful, and wise wizard, was leading a ragtag group of people to help a young hobbit to carry the burden of an evil ring. Now, sure, this group was made up of princes and elves and courtiers and other type positions, and it was made up of lowly hobbits who just lived in a countryside farmland type scenario and were more simple than some of those other people in the group. So it was a ragtag collection of just a whole slew of different people, seven of them actually. But again, Gandalf the Grey, an old, powerful, and wise wizard, was leading this ragtag group of people to help a young hobbit to carry the burden of an evil ring. And this hobbit named Frodo, small as he was tasked with taking this evil ring to the heart of where it was crafted, into the fires of Mordor, found in the heart of the volcano, Mount Doom. Sounds like a pleasant place to travel to, right? And there, the ring was to be destroyed. But how could such a burden be carried by such a small, insignificant hobbit? And for those of you who are not familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, hobbits are these like midget-sized, like small human-type creatures that are basically like humans, just shorter in stature. They have big, kind of hairy feet, and again, they live a simple life in the country. They're not plagued by big cities and industrialism and all of that sort of thing. They live and they farm, and they live in holes in the ground and are simple creatures. So how could such a burden be carried by a hobbit? Frodo found himself among a team of strangers, not knowing who he could trust among them. As the power of that ring called to them all, and they were all tempted to seize it for themselves. He was also being pursued by enemies of all monstrous kinds, and at any moment Frodo could be captured and destroyed by them. And one in particular was lurking around in the mines of Moria, hoping to seize the ring, because it had once been his. But Frodo's uncle had stolen it from him, which is how it came into Frodo's... Actually, I don't think he was an uncle. I think he was like a cousin twice removed or something like that. But he was older and a relative of Frodo's. And that's how Frodo ended up coming into possession of the ring. And this creature named Gollum was very close by, and Frodo could sense it. And the weight of the world was on Frodo's shoulders. And he found himself vulnerable and afraid. And at some point, while sitting there trying to figure out what the next move is, where to go in this dark, endless cavern, this endless mine, Frodo approaches Gandalf. And he begins to talk to him about how he wishes... You know, that Bilbo, his cousin, hadn't taken pity on Gollum. And, you know, Gandalf cautions him not to be so quick to judge, and that it's not for us to judge whether we should be merciful or whether someone else should be merciful or not, and that we're not left to be the judges. And finally, kind of resolved to this situation he finds himself in, Frodo says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this happened. To which Gandalf replied, so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Most people think courage is being strong, resolute, and it is, but truthfully, it all begins with being vulnerable. We can probably all think of someone in our lives who has shown courage by being vulnerable. Maybe we or people in your congregation have done so yourselves. Maybe we've done so ourselves. Yet the world often tells us that being courageous involves being tough or hard, that it requires superhero strength. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, from which our faith is built upon, Jesus, our hero, showed the ultimate courage through vulnerability. In the Roman Empire, divine and human power were asserted through strength, dominance, and war. Being courageous meant winning out over one's opponents. But Jesus does the exact opposite. Our scripture passage today, an early Christian hymn, talks about how Jesus, who is God, did not assume to be better than everyone else. Instead, he became humble, gave up the privileges of his divinity, and emptied himself into human existence. And as I said, this part of Paul's letter to the Philippians is actually an old hymn. He was quoting a hymn, a song that they sang worshiping Jesus. Let's hear it again. Let's hear that hymn again. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Through Jesus' courage to be vulnerable, he became like those he came to save, so that we could know the heart of God is for humanity and not over or against it. Jesus courageously became vulnerable to the point of death for the sake of others, for the sake of all, instead of trying to overpower his opponents. And Paul used this hymn to teach the Philippians, who were in conflict among themselves and with outside groups. Paul was advising the Philippians to have everyone's interest in mind, as Jesus did, rather than trying to prove themselves right or better. The hymn ends with God exalting Jesus, giving him the name that is above every name, so that all might come to bow before him. Instead of intimidating people into following him or winning out over others, Jesus' vulnerability brought people around to recognizing his true power. Now, I'm sure that Jesus, like Frodo, wished he didn't have to be in the position he was in. I'm sure that he wished that there could have been some other way other than the cross. But Jesus knew that his true power, the glory of God shown in himself, turned the world's definition of power upside down. Jesus' power is in being for others and with others. Let me say that again. Jesus' power is in being for others and with others. Jesus teaches us that it is much less courageous to remain closed off from others, especially those with whom we disagree. When Jesus became vulnerable to the human experience, he came to be with us, bring healing to our relationship with God, which we call reconciliation, and set us on a path to become our full selves, which we call redemption. Vulnerability is an invitation to togetherness and strength. When someone becomes vulnerable, others can join in. They can be vulnerable together, but also bring strength for everyone. In fact, strength comes through presence, through the fact that we are not alone, just as Frodo was not alone. What relationships or groups are you a part of, where your vulnerability might help someone else feel safe to be vulnerable too? Is there a conflict in your life where having the courage to be vulnerable might just lead to healing and growth for all involved? In the church I serve, or the church you attend, there's a place in which we can be vulnerable together. In our church, we have small groups such as our adult Bible study, our prayers and stitches group, our right now virtual fellowship, though we do fellowship in person once we get past the pandemic, our Christ Cares group, and other groups that are safe for you to feel vulnerable, to be vulnerable. And we can also be vulnerable through serving others, which might also inspire others to join you. At our church, we have a vibrant and awesome worship team. We have a choir when we are past the pandemic and we are able to have them sing again. We have Treasures of Hope, which is our thrift shop, Mana House, food and toiletry collection for the Weekend Bag Program, which we are supporting actively. And the Weekend Bag Program itself is not a religious organization. It's a secular organization started up by at the time, a freshman high school student who saw a need in her school where kids were suffering from food insufficiency. And she took it upon herself to start this program and build it up, and by her senior year, made it a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Talk about a go-getter. And we have many other opportunities to serve. And those of you who attend different churches, you have those opportunities as well. Or if those don't speak to you and something else does, perhaps Christ is calling you to make yourself vulnerable by starting up a new ministry or new mission like Isabel did with the Weekend Bag Program, paving the way for others with the same call and desire to join you. I promise you, and I'm sure your pastor, if you attend a different church, would promise you that you will find in us a supportive pastors who are willing to guide you and equip you to fulfill that call. A pastor's dream is for someone to come up to them and say, I have this thing that God is calling me to do. Can you help me do it? Can you tell me how I can begin to do this? And can you equip me to be able to do this ministry? Oftentimes, pastors get this. So, pastor, I've got a great idea. I think you should, followed by whatever the idea is. That's not a pastor's greatest dream, because pastors are doing plenty as it is. But when someone comes up truly feeling the call to start a ministry, the pastor's more than thrilled to help them out with that, to guide them and to equip them for that ministry, if it's a reasonable and achievable ministry. Remember, vulnerability wouldn't be vulnerability if it didn't involve risk. There are no guarantees that the risk of vulnerability will pay off, but if it does, wonderful change can happen. One thing is for sure. Avoiding risk, avoiding vulnerability, will only lead to a false sense of strength, certain complacency, and a misplacing of our faith. Let us follow our Lord who gives us the courage to be vulnerable. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be challenged and inspired by you, to see this ancient hymn which Paul was proclaiming to the church in Philippi that calls us to remember that you, who are God, humbled yourself when you didn't have to, became a human, learned what it meant was what it meant to be one of us, and then in your vulnerability rose from the cross and from death into life and into strength, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you, Jesus Christ, are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Help us to do the same, we pray, in your holy name. Amen. Friends, it's always a pleasure to have you here and to have you tune in, and hopefully you're getting something from these messages throughout Advent. Obviously, I chose instead of record the message itself, to share the message that I had shared with my church, included music that went with the sermons, and it just felt like a neat thing to do for the Advent season and Christmas season. But now we are beginning a new year, 2021. What a ride, right? And so I'm glad to again be sharing this new year with you and this new season with you. And again, check out the episode notes. As always, if this is your main source of spiritual feeding this week and you don't attend another church, we'd be glad to have your support. You can see all that information in the episode notes. And if you do attend another church and this is just supplemental, then support the church that you attend. All churches are struggling right now in the midst of this pandemic, but there is light and there is hope at the end of the tunnel. So let us just keep positive, turn our hearts and our selves to Jesus Christ and trust that he will guide us through. In all things, friends, remember you are richly blessed, so be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.